Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that when we look into your word, we're hearing from you. And as a speaker, Lord, I thank you that we can look into your word and speak the word of God. And Lord, help us to really be asking the Holy Spirit to work in a special way, Lord. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit would work through me, would speak through me. I pray, Lord, as we listen, that we would ask for the Holy Spirit's discerning of the truth, Lord, that we would see that these are your words, your precious word, Lord. Thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you so much that we have the power of the Holy Spirit as we look into that today, Lord. Thank you so much for that power that comes from on high. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. It's hot, so I'm going to take my suit jacket off here. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 13. Verse 13 of Romans 8 says this: "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." I would like to talk to you today about the phrase we see in verse 14 that says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? What do you think of when you hear the phrase led by the Spirit? How are we led by the Spirit of God? How do you think the Spirit of God leads in the life of a believer? Do you think of it, when you hear that phrase, led by the Spirit, as the way a seeing-eye dog would lead a blind person? A very close connection. You know how the seeing-eye dogs lead blind people? They're right there at their side. They have that harness where the blind person can, you know, feel if the dog stops and goes and whatever the dog does. Those dogs are trained. By the way, those dogs are amazing the way they do that. They can even foresee dangers, foresee a car coming down the street and will stop. So 5-year-olds can't do that. They can't foresee the danger coming down the street. But those dogs are trained really well to know that. And it's a very close connection that the dog and the person has where they can feel that. Is that how the Holy Spirit leads us, like that? Or do you think that the Holy Spirit leads us from a distance? Kind of the way an air traffic controller would lead an airplane. They're not right there, but they are leading the plane through the sky. Is that how the Holy Spirit leads us? Kind of like handwriting sky in the sky from heaven? Is that how the Holy Spirit, you believe, leads you in your life? What words would you use to describe how the Holy Spirit leads his people? Well, today I have 3 points I'd like to look at. Point number one is, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Point number two, we'll look at, why is it important to be led by the Holy Spirit? And point number three will be, how can I be led by the Holy Spirit? All right, that's the 3 points we'd like to look at. Let's look at point number one. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, the topic of the leading of the Holy Spirit has been debated from the time of Pentecost until now. Okay, it ranges from people who believe that the Holy Spirit is an indwelling presence in the life of a Christian. We teach that. But it also ranges from people who believe the leading of the Holy Spirit is an event that comes upon you with the laying on of hands and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay, there are those who believe that that's an event that happens. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. But there's even people who believe they really don't understand how the leading of the Holy Spirit works. They know the Scriptures. They read the Scriptures. They try to obey God's word, but they really don't see how the Holy Spirit leads them. Okay? So, what do you think of when you hear, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the children, these are the sons of God." For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The first thing you should notice when you read the verse 14 here, is that it's the leading of God's people. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? There is a leading that happens by the Holy Spirit to God's people. Okay? Galatians 4 in verse 6 said this, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You see that real close connection, Abba, Father, when that Holy Spirit indwells you. To be led by the Spirit is the work of the third person of the Trinity in the life of a believer. These are the sons of God. 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 13, says this, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." The Holy Spirit indwells the life of a believer. The profession of faith, the cry of repentance, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit go 1, 2, 3. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit leads us into a new way of thinking. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But let's look at the first example of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers in Acts chapter 2. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at the time in which the Holy Spirit indwelled His people. We're going to start in verse 36. Let's start in verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off," and that's us, "as many as the Lord our God will call." You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we see. Now look over at Acts 10. Go over to Acts chapter 10. You see those who believe receiving the Holy Spirit. We're going to start verse 43. It says this, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles." While Peter was still speaking these words, "the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." We'll stop there for right now. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in this particular circumstance came upon Jew and Gentile. Okay, so we need to realize that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. Okay, they were even astonished, the Jews were, that it fell upon the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit came upon all who believed. We see believers receiving the Holy Spirit, but the question is receiving the Holy Spirit different from being led by the Spirit? See, that's a question. Is being led by the Spirit something special? And I believe the Word of God teaches that the Holy Spirit immediately, when we receive Christ, starts the process of being led by the Spirit. We are immediately being led by the Spirit when we receive Christ. And let me ask a question. Have you ever thought, is there a difference between indwelling Holy Spirit in me and leading me? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Maybe we can get some answers to that question. Galatians chapter 5. Now, it's long, so I have to skip some parts, but I'll try to stay centered on where we're focusing here. So Galatians chapter 5. Paul starts out in verses 1 through 15, telling the people, the Galatians there, that don't let those who say you need to follow the law You need to be circumcised in order to be led by God. If you want to be the children of God are led by God. You need to do this. You need to follow the law. You need to be circumcised. And Paul says, wait a second. It doesn't work that way. Okay? That's the way it's always worked. But from 1 through 15, he tells him, don't allow the law to be your guide. Allow the Spirit of God to be your guide. And so Paul's making this case. But in verse 16, he says, after telling them, don't allow the law to be your guide, allow the Spirit to be your guide, he says this in verse 16. Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, there's the phrase we're thinking about, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, there is a freedom that comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit, a freedom from bondage, from the bondage that we have in sin, into a freedom in Christ, in the Spirit. We don't feel any kind of bondage to a law. Especially those who are not saved don't feel any bondage to any kind of law. We might not have even felt any bondage to any kind of law, but we were bound to sin. There was a bondage that we were in. And the Holy Spirit changed our way of thinking. Now, in verses 19 through 20, this is Galatians 5, 19 through 20, Paul sets down, well, here's what you used to think like, and here's what those who do not have the Spirit of God think like. Okay, in verses 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul lays down a list. If you're not Spirit-filled, this is how you think. This is how people who are not Spirit-filled. And we, as Christians, have a tough time with those who are not controlled by the Spirit, who have not given their life to Christ. And we go, they're always drunk, they're always arguing, we see these things. And Paul says, yeah, when your mind has not been changed by the Spirit of God, when you have not been changed, this is how you think. But then he says, but when you have been changed, this is how you think. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I'm reading it a little slow on purpose because if you think about it, it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. Not, I have some of those. I do some of those. Okay? This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how you think when your mind has been changed by the Spirit of God. Okay? These are the way we're supposed to think. Who here wouldn't say that when they came to Christ, the Lord changed their way of thinking? The Lord changed the direction they were going, changed the things that they thought about. Brother Milt, who's not able to be here today, will give a testify. He always says about how changed he's been. But we've all been changed. All of us have been changed by the Spirit of God. We're reading actually in when you're looking at the book of Galatians, we're actually looking at the words of Paul. Well, who wasn't changed more than Paul? Paul on the road to Damascus had a change. He pursued supposedly religious things, and he did. But he wasn't pursuing God the way he should. And the Lord changed him in a dramatic way. So dramatic that when he came to the disciples, they were like, you don't think like we are. You don't think the way we do. And Paul says, yes, I do, because the Holy Spirit had changed him. The Holy Spirit does lead in the life of believers, and he changes the way we think. Now, we use the phrase, a new heart. He's given us a new heart. That's Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart. Heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Then we can be led by the Spirit, but the question is this, my second point. Why is it important? Why is it important to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, number one, the Spirit of God gives us victory. Okay? Victory over battles that we have with the world, with our flesh, and with the devil. Okay? The only way that these victories can be achieved is through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at back, we're Galatians 5, look back at verse 16. 5 and 16. It says this. I'm just going to read this verse again, emphasize a different point. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not dismiss the definitive statement that the Holy Spirit of God is saying here. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh when you walk in the Spirit. Now, that's hard to realize, but the Holy Spirit is saying there's absolute victory available here. Not there's a chance that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, or maybe you will not. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh when you walk in the Spirit of God. Now, you might say to me, well, Brother Dave, you don't know my struggle I have with this. You don't know the struggles I have with the lust of the flesh. But I don't know the struggles that you have with the lust of the flesh, but God does. And he's the one who said this. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh when you walk in the Spirit. It needs to be said here, the lust of the flesh is not necessarily just a sexual desire. Okay, you could lust after money. You could lust after power. You could lust after prestige. There are those who could say, well, I had to take this new job. You know, it's going to get me the position I want. Nothing wrong with getting a better position, but it takes me away from the house of the Lord. I got to work 7 days a week. But this is what I need to do. You can lust after things that is not, that will make you not walk in the Spirit of God, that will take you away from walking in the Spirit of God and take your time away. And so, when he says, you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh when you walk in the Spirit, praise God for that promise. But we need to be walking in the Spirit. So it's important that we be led from the power on high by the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say in John 15:5? He says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, that's the Spirit of God, I in him, bears much fruit, and without me you can do nothing. Okay, so we need, it's very important that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us and that we walk in the Spirit. Now, do not misunderstand. When Jesus says you can do nothing without me, that's not to say, well, let go and let God. I don't have to really do anything. Okay, because that's not what he's saying. If you look at Galatians 5:16, let me emphasize another part of the verse. Look at 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit of God and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's an action that we're to take. We are to walk in the Spirit. Okay? So how can I be led? That's really my third point. If I want to walk in the Spirit, well then how can I be led by God? Okay? The first action is you are to walk in the Spirit. I want to look at three different verses here. Look at 16, where obviously we just read. 5:16. I say then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Go down to verse 25. Galatians 5 and verse 25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you see a walking in the Spirit and you see a living in the Spirit. Now flip over to chapter 6 and look at verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So you see a walking in the Spirit. You see a living in the Spirit. We also see a sowing to the Spirit. Okay? They're continuous actions. Walk and keep walking in the Spirit of God. Live and keep living in the Spirit of God. And sow and keep sowing to the Spirit of God. Now, these are good general principles. You say, oh, okay, this is good. Very good. But how do we know what the Spirit of God is saying to me? Okay? What is the Spirit of God leading me to do? Okay? Well, the first thing the Spirit of God says to you when you become a Christian is that you're His. The very first thing He says is that you are His. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. You see His Spirit, and you see our spirit. So, we are body, soul, and spirit, and we have a spirit. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His. That's the first thing the Spirit does in leading you and telling you that we are His. The next thing the Spirit will reveal to you personally is the truth. John 16. Let's go to John 16. You can flip over there. John chapter 16. And we'll start in verse 12. Okay, John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. We'll stop there. You notice the Holy Spirit is referred to as he, by the way. Okay, not it, not some kind of force. He will speak. He will guide you into truth. So the second thing the Holy Spirit leads you into is not just confirming that you're his, but also into the truth. You will see the truth of the Word of God. You will see things and words that you thought were foolishness. They didn't mean anything to you before when you were a Christian. Before you were a Christian, you now see how important they are. You see how important to your life they are. You see, the Holy Spirit brings that to you. The Holy Spirit teaches you the truth. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Okay? That Spirit has not been changed. They are foolishness to him. So we can see that the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth, teaches us the truth, and he says that to you and each one of us individually. That's an individual work in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures are in perfect harmony. Okay? You need to remember this and think about this. Why? Well, 2 Peter 1:20-21 says this, knowing this, that first no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit showed those men what to write. Yes, they were writing their thoughts. They were writing the things that were happening to them. But the Holy Spirit showed them what to write down. So, the Holy Spirit of God will not tell you to do something unholy. Okay? And also, the Word of God in Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So if the Word of God is dwelling in you, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and the Holy Spirit told the men what to write, then it's going to be in perfect harmony. Amen. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. The Holy Spirit will not only not lead you to do something unholy, but will not lead you to do, not lead you to think in that way. Let's put it this way. Let me put it this way. Give you an example. When the Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever in 2 Corinthians 6:14, and you say, yeah, but I really like this person. I'm going to marry this person, even though the Word of God tells me not to do that. You cannot say that the Holy Spirit is leading me to marry this person, because the Holy Spirit is in perfect harmony with the Scriptures that say, do not do that. Okay? How about those who kill abortion doctors? And they say, well, God led me to do that. I needed to kill that person. However, the Word of God says to not murder. Okay? So when we're told not to murder, and that's what the Holy Spirit moved men to write, for you to say, well, but God told me to do this, the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do that.
That's right.
Because the Holy Spirit already told men to write, do not murder. Okay? Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit told men to write, Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Okay? That's what the Word of God says. Galatians 5:22-23, which you just read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. See? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness. So we ask the question, how can I be led by the Spirit? And we answer by saying the Holy Spirit guides you into the truth. But it still leaves the question in our mind, is there any kind of special leading of the Holy Spirit that's for me? Some kind of special leading that's just for me? And I say yes to that. Because if you think about it, as we have in examples in the Scriptures, different people were called to special roles. For example, David was led to be the king of Israel. Not David's family members. David was led to be the king of Israel. God led him for that special role. Well, there were many kings, but he was a godly king, the first godly king of Israel. But God led him to that role. Moses, he was led to a special role leading God's people out of bondage into the land of promise. That was his role, not someone else's role. And God led him to a specific role. Paul was called to be a missionary and preaching the gospel throughout what was the known world at that time. And that was his specific role. There were other missionaries, but he had a role and that God wanted him to do, that the Holy Spirit called him to do. Even Mary, she had a specific role, being the mother of our Lord. Not someone else. She was called to that specific role. So, in John chapter 10, 27, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, okay, and I know them and they follow me." There is a leading from the Holy Spirit. There is a leading from God that's a particular leading for you. But here's the thing. People say, okay, if God's going to lead me in a special way, the Holy Spirit's going to lead me in a special way, what do I look for? I look for a lightning bolt. What do I look for? Okay. In 1 Kings 19:12, Elijah actually hears a still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is seen when Jesus is baptized. Remember when Jesus is baptized? The Holy Spirit is seen coming down like a dove. Well, the dove is one of the most timid birds there is, really. It's not an eagle with big talons. It's a very timid bird, the dove is. So there is a gentle leading of the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. In order to hear that leading of the Holy Spirit, you need to listen for that leading of the Holy Spirit. And that means putting down your phone sometimes, Amen. Turning off the internet sometimes. There's a leading of the Holy Spirit that we need to listen for. It's not just going to drop out of heaven in some big, bold way. And I will tell you this, that even our Lord is a great example of this. Our Lord, right after he was baptized, what did he do? He was led out into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and he prayed and fasted. He went away in a separate place. Matthew 14:23 says that he went up to the mountain himself to pray. Mark 1:35 says this, he went and departed to a solitary place and prayed. Luke 4:42 says he departed and went into a deserted place. See, our Lord took time to be by himself so he could hear the voice of his Father. And we need to do that. Our Bible study, we're reading a book, we're actually doing a book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald S. Whitney. And there's different disciplines that are listed in here. One of the disciplines that's listed here is called silence and solitude. We haven't gotten there yet. We're going to get there. But I was reading this, and it's amazing to me when you think about people being silent. See, in today's world, we don't want to be silent. There's more and more and more noise. It seems like a lot of noise. As a matter of fact, with the phones that we have through the internet, we have access to the internet through our phones, we can basically be talking and in touch and constantly having noise all the time. Who here doesn't have a teenager that as soon as they get in the car, they put the earbuds in and, you know, you can't even hear they can't hear what you're saying because it's noise, noise, noise. Now, I'm not picking on teenagers because older people can turn on the radio or whatever. It still can happen. But the thing is that people don't take time to be silent before the Lord. And let me just read you. It's only one little tiny paragraph of our silence and solitude in this book here. And I think he phrases this really well. It says this, "The discipline of silence is the voluntary and temporary abstention from speaking so that certain spiritual goals might be sought. Sometimes silence is observed in order to read, write, pray, or so on. Though this is there is no outward speaking, there is an internal dialogue with self and with God. This can be called outward silence. Oftentimes, silence is maintained not only outwardly, but also inwardly, so that God's voice might be heard more clearly. Solitude is the spiritual discipline of voluntarily and temporarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. The period of solitude may last only a few minutes or for days. As with silence, solitude may be sought in order to participate without interruption in any other spiritual disciplines or just to be alone with God." That's lost today. That's really lost today, that we don't listen to the voice of God. We're very, very busy. I'm afraid even in some churches it's gotten so busy to where, let us sing to you. Let you hear from us and not we hear from him. So, but we want to talk to you, Lord, and that's okay. We want to sing praise to the Lord, but we want to sing, and we'll do a little less preaching because that's hearing from you. We really want you to hear us. And the practice of being listening to that voice of the Holy Spirit has been lost. And it won't be easy. You got to think about it. Even when our Lord went out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, the devil followed him there. Okay? So those kind of things are going to happen. The devil's going to follow you and not want you to be alone with the Lord and then the Holy Spirit. But we must listen. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says what? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Or to quench, the word quench means to put out, to extinguish, to suppress the Holy Spirit speaking in our lives. Ephesians 4:30 says not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can do that when we get so busy that we're not listening to God. Grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to be led by the Spirit? We need to develop a posture of following Him, not following the world. Okay? Let me just conclude by saying this. Praise God that we as Christians have a helper and a comforter in this world who helps us in every life circumstance. Praise God for the leading of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is with us. But to follow Christ means we have to do the will of Christ. In order to do the will of Christ, we follow the Great Commission. Go therefore making disciples, right? Of all nations. Well, the problem is that can be intimidating. What do we say? What do we do? Luke 12:12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Praise God for Him. We need to be careful to not diminish the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to worship Him in spirit and truth. Okay? So, John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, for those of you who are not saved, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit can be yours. Okay? You may not have experienced it, but you can experience it. When you repent and you call out to Christ, that Holy Spirit will come in and dwell you and change your way of thinking. Praise God that He's done that for a lot of us who are in this room. But those of you who are not saved, the Holy Spirit will indwell you and completely change your way of thinking. Praise God for that. We always say Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Allow the Holy Spirit to indwell you. And the Spirit of God will guide you into truth. Praise God for that. For those of us who are Christians, let's live in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit and let's take time, silence, and solitude of saying, you know what, Lord, I want to hear from You. Okay? And ask that Holy Spirit to speak. He will speak into your life and He will guide you. Praise God for that. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Lord, we thank You that we are not left to our own power, our own might. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Spirit being our comforter and our guide. There's many aspects of the Holy Spirit I didn't even touch on today, but I just thank You, Lord, so much for how You guide and direct in our lives. But Lord, help us to listen to that voice. Help us to listen to the Spirit that dwells in us, Lord, and not crowd it out with a lot of things that are in our lives. Too many things are in our lives that crowd out the speaking of the Spirit. Lord, may we put them aside and ask Your Spirit to dwell in us, and may we walk in Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.